The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is for children ages 4 through 7. See My Savior's Hands is written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon. Learn more about See My Savior's Hands at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. See how Jesus' hands tell the story of His life, death, resurrection, and love for us in See My Savior's Hands, a great Easter gift for young children, grandchildren, and godchildren. See My Savior's Hands.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, He healed the sick and afflicted.
It's a very short story told in Mark's Gospel, one of several that come in a row of Jesus healing people. Jesus is a great exorcist and healer in Mark's Gospel. This one is a person who cannot hear, and then, as a result, cannot speak. What would it have been like back in the time of Jesus' earthly ministry to be a person like that? It's difficult enough in our modern times. So what does Jesus do for this man who is brought to Him and they beg Him to lay His hands on him? He does more than lay His hands on him to begin with. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Jesus healing the deaf man in Mark chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. And for almost 30 years, Tom met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talk a bit about the difficulties that would have been presented to a person who could not hear or speak in the time when Jesus was conducting His earthly ministry.
Well, they did have doctors, but actually it was against Judaism on a Saturday, that is the seventh day of the week, to even go to a doctor unless it was a matter of life and death. And these doctors, of course, did not have the ability really to stop people from being deaf. There were no hearing aids in those days, obviously, and so forth. So a lot of times you would have to read the person's lips, or it was difficult to understand them. It appears that because he had difficulty speaking, he probably was born this way, being both mute and deaf to a great degree. And the fact of the matter is that when somebody is deaf, then you can really tell that. I can't remember her name. She's an actress on a lot of television programs, but she's always deaf, sometimes in comedic shows. And you can always tell she's deaf because of the way she speaks. She speaks haltingly. You can still understand her English, but it's not as clear as someone who is able to speak properly. In fact, in one show, she was used by the two guys who head up the show in order to read the lips of someone from across the room because they wanted to know what was going on. It's kind of interesting. But whether or not this man was able to read lips, he was definitely deaf, and there was no ear place that he could go to get anything to help him with that. Occasionally, you see where people have a funnel somewhat that they're holding. They stick in one end of their ear, and that way the noise goes through the funnel into the ear more. But in this particular case, this gentleman doesn't seem to have any instrument at all that would help him to be able to speak. But when Jesus showed up in the region of Tyre and went through the side into the Sea of Galilee, this area was southeast of the Sea of Galilee, this deaf man was all actually brought to Jesus by his friends. It kind of reminds you of those that took that gentleman up on the roof and let him down through the roof in order to get to Jesus. So he had friends, and they wanted to see if Jesus, because of his past miracles, would be able to heal a man who was deaf and had speech impediment. and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And so that's where the introduction of Mark 7 takes place for the Sunday school lesson for this week. And by the way, this is right after another miracle that Jesus had done with a woman who had a demon-possessed daughter. And if you recall that one, Jesus had said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And we would say, "Oh, that's terrible what Jesus is saying," until you realize that the word he's using for dogs, she takes it to mean pet. And she answers, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And in light of that statement, Jesus says, "You may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. So who knows how many of these miracles Jesus had been doing that didn't come to the friends of this deaf man. And therefore, when he came, they brought the deaf man to Jesus and asked him to lay his hand on him.
So talk a little bit more about that, that we often talk about the reason Jesus did these miracles. He did them, of course, out of compassion for those who are afflicted. He did those, did them also to demonstrate the veracity of the message that he was preaching. But it sounds like he also, in some sense, did them so that others would hear about them and come to receive the healing that he was giving.
Yes, that seems like that's a good idea until you look at the text where Jesus actually says that he took the man aside privately, did not do this in the front of all the people. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to get back to what I believe you really are saying as to why he did this miracle. If you will recall, when John the Baptizer comes, his disciples to Jesus, "Are you the one we're looking for or someone else?" Remember what he quotes? He quotes Isaiah. And two of the things he quotes, he's actually doing here. He says, "The blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the mute speak." So here with this one situation, Jesus is fulfilling two of the signs, and the word sign doesn't just mean miracle, although it can be used that way, but it actually refers to what you're supposed to do. Like when you come up to a stop sign, the policeman's going to ask you, "Didn't you see the stop sign?" He's not going to be satisfied if you said, "Oh yeah, I saw it. It's a nice red sign. It's got a big S, an I, a G, and an N." No, what he means by that is, "Didn't you see that you were to stop?" And that's similarly with the miracles of Jesus. They were done as signals to the people that this is the coming Messiah. And therefore, those who were already believing that Jesus could do these miracles came to believe that he was the Messiah, in light of the Old Testament passages. And then we get to this verse 33, "And taking him aside from the crowd privately." Now, this goes in contrast to what one of the temptations of the devil was to Jesus, if you'll recall. He wanted him to go up on the pinnacle of the temple, and somehow he would be known as the Messiah. And the reason for that is because there was a teaching among some scribes at the time of Jesus here on earth that the Messiah on the Day of Atonement would appear on the pinnacle of the temple. Well, the devil wanted him not only to appear on the pinnacle, so that's why some people think the temptation occurred during the time of the Atonement, but he wanted him to jump down because he said, "You won't hurt yourself because the Bible says the angels will protect you." Here was a huge temptation that in front of all the people, Jesus would appear on a pinnacle of a temple and many of them would say, "This must be the Messiah." The only problem was they're always misreading the sign. Remember the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? And by the way, right after this text is Jesus' feeding of the 4,000. But they miss the sign that it's pointing to. They think, oh, he's going to be a bread king. So they run after him because they're looking for new things for the flesh. Enough food, maybe a better home, get rid of the Romans, etc. And Jesus had to flee from them because they had misread the sign. Now, why would Jesus feed 5,000 publicly, but in this case, with this individual, feed him privately? And we'll get to that point when we get back from the break.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing a deaf man in Mark 7. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is for children ages 4 through 7. See My Savior's Hands is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Learn more about See My Savior's Hands at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. See how Jesus' hands tell the story of his life, death, resurrection, and love for us in See My Savior's Hands, a great Easter gift for young children, grandchildren, and godchildren. See My Savior's Hands.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Speaking of children, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a children's book, See My Savior's Hands. Beautifully illustrated, Pastor Will Whedon, the author, walks through the life and ministry of Jesus around the theme of what Jesus is doing with his hands. It's a great way to tell your children the story of their salvation in Jesus Christ, a salvation worked by the hands of none other than Jesus. Find out more about See My Savior's Hands at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. See My Savior's Hands. It's for children ages 4 through 7. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. So, Tom, you wanted to talk a little bit more about Jesus taking this man aside privately.
Yes. This is a common theme in Mark. At the seminary, we understood it as a secrecy, that Jesus does this a number of times. And I'll tell you, Mark 7, this is all about the deaf man. But listen to Mark 8, beginning with verse 22. It's almost identical, except for changes in the city. The deaf man was in the region of Tyre, but then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. With a deaf man, they brought to him a man who was deaf, had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay a hand on him. So, when Jesus took the blind man by the hand, he led him out of the village. Similarly, with the deaf man that we're reading today, he took him aside from the crowd privately, and then he healed the blind man, and then he healed the deaf man. And to the blind man, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus sent him home saying, "Do not even enter the village." In fact, in the very next verses, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. He says, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Well, I've often said, what if a church wanted to put a Bible verse above their doors? Would they ever put these verses where Jesus says, don't tell anybody about me? I mean, a lot of churches have a sign as they go out of their parking lot, you are now entering into the world of witness, that we are to witness about Jesus. So we need to understand, why is Jesus saying what he says? He does this for a very simple reason, but it's not the reason that a lot of scholars give. They argue that Jesus never really called himself the Son of God or Christ, but these beliefs about him were added later, and they were put in by the apostles. They were actually made up. But that really is a contradiction of everything you find in the Bible, particularly from Luke and Mark. So, why did Jesus have this secret? Well, I made a point not long ago that if you take a look at the raising of Lazarus from the dead, when Jesus hears that Lazarus is about to die, he remains for two more days, and he doesn't go to see Lazarus. And a lot of people will say, well, they didn't believe in that day that anyone was dead unless they were in the grave for 3 days. And when Jesus finally got to Lazarus, he had been in the grave for 4 days. And they say that's why he waited. But I don't agree with that. I think in the passage right after the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the enemies of Jesus, it's their last straw, and they decide to put him to death. That's right after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, that kind of shows us that Jesus had enemies, and that the more these enemies got the idea that he was calling himself the Son of God, the more quickly he would have been put to death. And Jesus knew from the Father that he had to spend some time on earth preaching to many people. Remember, when he went to see Lazarus, I believe the first woman to meet him was Martha, and she already knew that Lazarus would be raised from the dead on the judgment day. She probably picked that up in the Bible study that Jesus had talked with her and Mary about. So the thinking behind the secrecy of Jesus is that he actually told people not to tell anyone what he had done, lest his opponents be encouraged to put him to death earlier. In fact, if you see those occasions when Jesus does encourage people to proclaim about his miracles, it's always outside the area where his main opponents are living. So I really kind of agree with what I was taught at the seminary, that the secrecy was to make sure that he would be around long enough to share the message of the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. And in those occasions and locations where his enemies were not, he did not have to tell people, oh, don't tell anybody about it. But in this particular case, Jesus is talking about what was he doing. And he therefore takes the deaf man and he goes to him and he touches him, and the man is able to speak and to hear. I can't believe that that isn't considered a great miracle, because I have a hearing problem in my right ear. I would drive my mother around when I was visiting her. She was on the left of me, and on the right of me in the car, and I was on the left. I could only hear out of my left ear. She could only hear out of her right ear. And so the two ears that were facing each other, neither of us could hear from. And I have gone to these professional ear folks, and they can't really do anything about it. They've tested the ear, etc. So what would have had to happen would almost been a recreation of the ear. And what does Jesus do? Occasionally, he just says something, and it's done. For example, with the lepers, he says to them, go to the priest. And on the way there, they lose their leprosy. He doesn't appear to have touched them or anything. But a number of times, like the man born blind in John 9, what does he do? He puts mud on his eyes that was put together with his spit, and he goes and tells them to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he is able to see. In this case, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And then he says something, Ephphatha. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to share with the group something that I did not know until I studied this pericope.
Pastor Tom Baker's our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing a deaf man in Mark chapter 7. We'll come back to that word that Jesus speaks to open this man's mouth and his ears right after the break.
After Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and there he fasted for 40 days, and Satan came and tempted him. And whereas we have fallen to temptation time and again, Jesus did not. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn all about fasting and temptation. Read about how God called his people to return to him with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and learn about how Jesus gives us his perfect obedience in place of our sin. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your sun-bleached felt church banners have seen better days. Held together with staples and superglue, they are a monument to Aunt Mabel's pastel-toned creativity from 1960. But it's time for a refresh. Ad Crucem has the solution that doesn't even need a Sharpie. We proudly offer Scapegoat Studios creations as well as Ad Crucem's original banners. Come and browse our wide selection of seasonal church banners. We also create banners and church signs to your design. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study an empty tomb, Jesus appears to Mary, sending the apostles, Thomas confesses Jesus, and Jesus and the 153 fish. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Jesus healing a deaf and dumb man in Mark chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. Tom, you wanted to talk a little bit about this word that Jesus utters to open the man's mouth and ears.
Yes, ephphatha. You can look up in every Greek dictionary you want. You won't find the word because it's in the Aramaic. It's the word to be opened. Now, I've often thought about doing a study of just going through the Aramaic words that the disciples put in. A lot of people don't realize that the word Abba, for example, is not a Greek word. It's the Aramaic word and really refers more like daddy than a father. And then, of course, the words he says at the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. There's a number of places where they put in the Aramaic and then they translate it as they do here. Now, what is so significant, and this is the part I did not know, this word in the Aramaic was later used in the church's baptismal liturgies. Can you imagine that? Because they were really stressing that in that Pentecost baptism, the Holy Spirit was giving power to open ears and tongue and lips. In fact, verse 35 says it. His ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Even when we baptize an infant, the ears are now opened to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The tongue of the children are released in singing hymns and speaking about Jesus, and the CPH material, Enduring Faith, does a good job in helping them to do that witness. And they speak plainly. They don't say, well, Jesus came in order to show us the good works to do so that we can save ourselves. No, they speak plainly. We're saved by grace through faith. And after Jesus says that word and the miracle occurs, it's at that point Jesus charged them to tell no one. Well, you can understand what's going to happen. The more he charged them, according to verse 36, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And I would have the Sunday school teachers again remind the children of the prophecies from Isaiah that Jesus quoted to the disciples of John the Baptizer. And two of them were that the Messiah would be coming to make the deaf hear and the mute speak. That continues in divine worship, as in divine worship, through the hymns, through the sermon, through the readings, through the Lord's Supper, through baptism, we hear Jesus not only speaking to us, but his laying hands upon us in the very words of Christ. And then we receive something as we grow older and are confirmed that nobody, no Old Testament believer ever received, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to proclaim that we have received his benefits. So even though it's a few verses long, there's a lot in here to help the children understand the culture of that day, why Jesus would tell people, don't tell everybody what I'm doing, when he was in the area of his opponents, and also that he has done for you what he has done to the people of his day, bringing them the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness, so heaven is their home.
With about a minute here, Tom, your thoughts on how the people receive this when they say he has done all things well. Are they saying more than they even know?
Yes, it's kind of like the priest who talked about the high priest Caiaphas, that, you know, better that one man die. He didn't realize that he was being used by God to proclaim the death of Jesus himself. They say all things well, and they often, we don't even realize that. A new member of the church who's just been confirmed is beginning their journey to discover the insights and the comfort that comes from a proper understanding of law and gospel as the word of God is prepared in their hearts and help them to also hear properly the word of God and then speak it to others.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. Tom met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the Sunday school classroom. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be continuing a fascinating series that we're doing with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of the new book, Post-Christian, A Guide to Contemporary Thought and Culture. It's going to be part five of this series. We've been talking about post-Christian culture and society. We're going to move on to politics. That's really the hot button subject for, well, today and probably the next 6 months. We are seeing it play out right in front of our eyes, a new kind of politics. And we'll even talk a little bit about how this post-Christian culture has affected education. Stay tuned for hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.